the atheist, the deist, the alienologist, the behaviorist, the hedonist, the transhumanist, the humanist. Everyone avoids and gets out of their perspective, their worldview, the issue of sin, the issue of real radical spiritual fallen evil, and the fact that death is an enemy, an abnormality, and was not meant. This is why we have a hard time with it. This is why we seek to avoid even discussing it. Death is here because there was a para-human presence in the beginning that engaged, radical evil engaged. We did this. We opened the door. We believed the lie. And that lie is now being pumped around the world, an evolution to immortality, an evolution to godhood, without God, of course, yet embracing another small g God that never has been and never will be one. You embrace the lie, the spiritual counterfeits, and you never find the answer. You never get the answer to death, sin, the behavioral issue. You don't find the answer. You find an answer where he comes, God comes, and here's the answer in Christ: victory over the issues of human behavior, sin, victory over death, victory over the grave, victory over hell itself, victory in the sense of Christ on the cross, defeating and conquering, listen, the behavioral issue, sin, the death issue that's abnormal and a result of our sin. The wages of sin is death.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I want to know, I live in a beautiful part of the world. It's a beautiful fall here. Suddenly, the 49ers are playing again this weekend, and I've been a 49er fan for the better part of 60 years. And suddenly, we live suddenly in a prosperous community where we have certainly a government providing for people from the cradle to the grave. We talk about poverty here. Many of the people living in poverty here would be considered wealthy in many parts of the world. But there are other parts of the world where things really are much, much different. And we talk to our friends from Israel. Well, basically, they're concerned because somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 missiles, very accurate, sophisticated missiles, are armed at the little state of Israel. And suddenly, we know some people insist it's only 100,000. Other people insist it's 200,000. But if it was only 50,000, this would be a disastrous situation. Certainly within the last month or so, everybody in Israel has been issued a gas mask. They're getting the civil defense centers, the underground facilities where people will go in case of an attack, ready for war. If you're listening to what President Netanyahu of Israel is saying, hey, he's inferring he really doesn't trust America. He feels he may very well have to go it alone against Iran and perhaps even a preemptive attack strike. Things are uncertain over there for the people who live in Israel. Well, this evening is Ted Shobat, and Ted we've talked to in the past. We've talked to his dad in the past. They are Messianic Jews. And Ted, thank you very much for being with us tonight. We appreciate you coming on short notice.
Thanks for having me on, sir. It's good to be here again.
Well, why don't you bring us up to date in your view of what's going on in the Middle East? Because we want to get all the views we possibly can for our listeners. I mean, certainly, I'm very, very concerned about what's taking place over there. But please give us your views. Go right ahead.
That's a very good topic to discuss. This is what I have been reading about lately. It's what is happening in the Middle East. And people need to understand what we're seeing right now is we see the revolution in Syria. We see the political and civil chaos taking place right now in Egypt, and we also see the violence that is taking place in certain parts of Africa, such as Uganda or in Nigeria. And we ask ourselves, and many, the media is, the mainstream media that is treating this universal situation as though each one of these events are merely isolated occurrences. So the revolution in Syria, that's isolated. The civil distress in Egypt, that's different. The Islamic violence toward Christians in Uganda or in Nigeria, that's all just separate. They're all fragmented. But we need to understand this is actually really a collective, coordinated effort to, for one thing, start, I believe, to start a civil war throughout the Middle East and in Africa in order to advance the Islamic government over the Mediterranean and over certain parts of Africa.
I concur.
But coming on, so I'm stopping.
Well, I tell you what, basically I agree with you, and I think people have to see that they're terrible. I mean, they've killed 100,000 people in Syria, and some people say 50, some people say 100,000 people have died. And in Libya, this is a nation with, 6.5 million people. I don't know how many people, but an awful lot of people have died in all of these places. And yet we live in such a wonderful place. But we have to understand that many times our policies is having an influence on what is happening in all of these other spots. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
And the winner of fallback pricing is... you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Ted is simply talking about what's going on as far as Somalia is concerned. And apparently, certainly they're taking a lot of young men, young Muslims from Kenya and Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries, are sending them to Muslim schools. And many of these young men are coming back and being sent into Somalia. Now, Somalia apparently has been a dictatorship, a Muslim dictatorship for years, but the Christians were able to live there. They were able to thrive, just as certainly as Iraq was a Muslim dictatorship, but it was a secular dictatorship, and the Christians lived there and thrived. Exactly as happened in Greece, as happened in Libya, as happened in Tunisia. But in all of these countries, the Christians were able to survive. That's no longer the case. These governments have been systematically overthrown, and the Christians are now coming under persecution. And certainly we see this in Syria today, where the Christian population is being killed by the rebels, the rebel army. But you go right ahead.
But what I was saying was that in Somalia, they began, the Muslims in Somalia, for one thing, the Muslims in Egypt, began to import the doctrines of the Muslim Brotherhood into Somalia. And they began to build Sharia schools in Somalia. And then also they were sending youths, Somali youths, into Saudi Arabia. Now, which universities were they sending these youths in Saudi Arabia? The same universities that the Obama family in Kenya is sending you to learn Sharia. And this is very well documented. We have lots of documentation in regards to the Islamic activism being done by Musa Obama, Obama's cousin, Saeed Obama, Malik Obama, Obama's brother. They are all involved in propagating and inundating the doctrine of Sharia in Kenya and overall and ultimately all throughout the continent of Africa, the subcontinent of Africa. And if you look at what happened, what was the result of sending these youths to these universities? They would be educated in Sharia, they would become more fanatic, and they would return to Somalia preaching this through fundamentalist Islam to others. And so they began to raise militias. And these militias began to commence revolutions against the Barre regime. And eventually the Barre regime was crushed. And now what we have in Somalia is really thuggery. Thuggism is now ruling Somalia. And also you have Al-Shabaab, which is a major terrorist organization in Somalia, causing much violence against Christians in that country. But Al-Shabaab has an extension in Kenya. What's very fascinating is that the Al-Shabaab organization is being supported by Omar al-Bashir, who is the president, the dictator of North Sudan. And who is working with Omar al-Bashir? Who was working with Omar al-Bashir? It is Malik Obama, Obama's brother. So Obama's brother is working with a man who supports Al-Shabaab. Not only that, but Obama's brother, the Obama family, is sending people to the same three universities which the Somali youths were sending to learn Sharia, as a result of which they made Somalia now into the Mujahideen country as it is today. And because of that, the Christian cathedral that was built in Mogadishu was completely ransacked. If you look at the cathedral today, it's not even intact anymore. It's just bits and pieces. Remnants of the cathedral that are left in Mogadishu, because they utterly destroyed it. They massacred a good amount of the Catholics and the Christians that were there, and the Christian population, they were either killed or they ran away. They went to a different country, and it started a civil war in Somalia. And if you look at what happened recently in Kenya, you had the mole shooting, in which over 60 people were massacred. Countless amounts of individuals were injured, and then what happened after the mole shooting? Well, to say another thing, also the news was making it out to be that the Muslims were just shooting people in Kenya. No, not true. They weren't just shooting people. They were getting human beings, cutting off their testicles, hanging them on meat hooks, putting bombs inside of their bodies, cutting people's heads off. It was an absolute killing field. It was a concentration camp. It was not just a shooting. And the Al-Shabaab group is connected with Omar al-Bashir, and you have the Obama family working with Omar al-Bashir. Not only that, what is Al-Shabaab's main objective in wreaking such havoc and violence? Their main objective is to start a civil war in Kenya, just as they started a civil war in Somalia, just as the Muslims are doing a civil war in Syria, commenced a civil war in Syria, and just as the Muslims right now are planning on commencing a civil war through bloodshed in Egypt. So they want to cause all these civil wars, and the purpose of them is to take over the countries in which they start the civil war. And what they do to gain support, to gain victories in these struggles, is they appeal to the media as victims. They appeal to the media as victims that we are oppressed by these dictators and we need help. This is what happened in Iraq. You had the Shiites in Iraq saying, we are being killed by this evil dictator, Saddam. And if you look at what Iraq before the ousting of Saddam, there was civilization nonetheless. There was music, there was art. Women had freedom. Women had rights to go to university, to go to school. They didn't have to wear the veil. There was no Sharia. Christians could observe their religion and worship in their churches without fear of being shot at or having Muslims go into their churches and killing people with bullets, cutting people's heads off. Because Saddam had a policy in which if anyone ounced the slightest word of sedition, or even was being suspected of about to cause a sedition, they would be arrested, beaten severely, or even executed. And because of that policy, the peace was preserved and kept and perpetuated in Iraq. And by getting rid of Saddam Hussein, it was as though Saddam Hussein was keeping devils from emerging from under the earth. And by getting rid of Saddam, the devils protruded from the surface of the earth, broke up, and now possess the souls of the Iraqi people. And you see this nothing but mass chaos in Iraq. And the only people that are suffering in Iraq are the Christians and some of the other secular types in Iraq. And the only people that gained a victory in Iraq were the Iranians, because the Iranians now have a country with a Shiite majority, which is Iraq. And they are now planning on invading Iraq, and when that does take place, the Iraqi people will allow the Iranians to voluntarily conquer them. Because in Shiite theology, it says that Iran must conquer Persia before the Mahdi comes, the Islamic Messiah comes. So the Shiite in Iraq will allow the Iranians to invade them. And this all happened because the Muslims in Iraq, the fundamentalist Muslims in Iraq, appealed to the Western world for sympathy and for help through this feigned perception that they were being oppressed by this evil dictator, and that this dictator needed to be gotten rid of. The same thing happened in Egypt. Mubarak was oppressing the people, and he was not oppressing the people. Mubarak was oppressing the Muslim Brotherhood agents. Mubarak was oppressing the fundamentalist Muslims. Mubarak protected the Christians. In fact, the Copts had much more influence in the government under Mubarak than they do now. And the same thing is happening with Assad. The whole world, the media in general, the mainstream media right now, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, it doesn't really matter. They are sympathizing with the rebels. Even Charles Krauthammer, who I respect as a very intelligent commentator, political commentator, he himself is falling for the deception of the Muslims in Syria, that Assad needs to leave because he used chemical weapons. And when you look at the bottom line, it really wasn't Assad who used chemical weapons. It was the rebels who used them. And we have video evidence of this, showing the rebels using chemicals from Saudi Arabia, firing them into villages, killing people. This is how evil the rebels are. They are killing people and then using the deaths of those people, because they're using chemical weapons. And chemical weapons cause excruciating death. You die, you're coughing out all kinds of foam. It's a slow and painful death in which you strangle yourself before perishing. And they're using the death as media props so they can get the support of the free world. And the free world is a falling for it. And the Saudis are the ones who desperately want Assad to be gone. Because the Saudis are terrified of the Shiite. There is nothing that terrifies the Saudis more than the Shiite. And they see Ahmadinejad in Iran, and they see that Ahmadinejad is an ally with Bashar al-Assad. And they know that with Bashar al-Assad, Iran has a very strong ally, because out of all the Muslim countries in the Middle East, Bashar al-Assad's country is the most chemically advanced, militarily speaking. And so if you can take out Bashar al-Assad, you greatly weaken Iran, and then you further increase the dominance and the domination of the Sunni in the Middle East.
Fascinating, and I certainly agree with everything you're saying. And the average American really doesn't understand. I mean, we hear, oh my God, my goodness, here's Assad killing all of his own people, and what a terrible person he is. But this is a mercenary army over there. It's being financed. It is the mercenaries. If they stop fighting tomorrow, why the killing in Syria would just stop? And of course, the Christians are victims. The Christians are victims in Syria. The Christians are victims in Iraq. The Christians are victims in Egypt and in Libya and in Tunisia. And certainly the Christians will be victims, certainly in Kenya as well, before long. And you're not hearing this. This is a major problem. The media in America, as far as I'm concerned, is very, very tightly controlled. And this is why I do what I do, to get out stories, because I agree with what Ted's saying.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger, because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ted is simply pointing out that what you're really not seeing in Syria is not a truly civil war, because most of the fighters are not Syrians. They're actually a people. They're Muslims from all over that part of the world, from Afghanistan and from all through that area. And they're actually there fighting. They're Muslims. And what are they doing? They're fighting to overthrow the existing society. Existing society has been very certainly beneficial, protective towards the Christians. And it is Ted's contention, and I believe it's true, that the major thrust, or one of the major thrusts of everything going on today, certainly is to destroy Christianity and to destroy the remnants of Christianity. Now, you can go into Iran today. There are Christians and Jews still live in Iran. Certainly there are Christians who are living in Syria and certainly very comfortable in Syria. But, of course, the rebels there who are there fighting, and the vast majority of the people fighting are not Syrians. So why do they call this a civil war? Well, because, of course, that's very convenient for the American people. Now, we talk about democracy, but is that really the goal? And I said, Ted, I think one thing I'd like to mention, I'd like your view of, and that is the fact that the American government is firmly on the side of the rebels who are destroying Christianity in Syria. Yeah. And certainly we are funding, we are financing, we are training these radical Islamists who are trying to destroy Christianity. That doesn't make any sense.
That makes perfect sense, actually. Because when you look what's happening in the States right now, because Islam is not the only movement that wants to annihilate Christianity. There's two major groups in the world that want to destroy Christendom. That is Islam. And the second would be leftism, or you could call it socialism, but I prefer to call it leftism, because leftism can consist of different philosophies, such as you have the socialist aspect of leftism, and then you also have the paganistic aspect. You have the radical environmentalism, Mother Earth worship, and that's where global warming comes into play. And then you have the sodomite movement. I don't like calling it the gay movement, because the sodomites hijacked that word, and I don't like to use the term where it is inadequate to use it, so I prefer to use sodomite, as the Bible calls them. You have the sodomitism, homosexual agenda, and then you have paganism, environmentalism, socialism. And then you have the Muslims. And these two groups, these two entities, many people make the wrong assumption that the leftists and the Muslims are of a completely different persuasion or completely different mindset, and this is not true. When you study the two philosophies, leftism and Islam, what you find is that they have more parallels than they do differences. For one thing, Islam wishes to establish a universal utopia in which all people are 100% equal in religion, because all people have to speak Arabic, equal language, all people have to speak Arabic, equal in religion, all people have to agree with the particular philosophy of the regime. And then they both have an aspiration or an objective to destroy the church. This we can confirm, no doubt, because look at what's happening in the States. For example, in San Antonio, you have the government and the mayor, the government of San Antonio in Texas, passed an ordinance stating that politicians cannot express any bias either by word or by deed, meaning they are restricting freedom of speech. And if they do, they cannot run for office. And they are have a potential of being fired or gotten rid of in their position. And this has been, this same type of ordinance has been established universally in the U.S. Air Force. To give an example, in Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, the Lackland Air Force Base, there was a man, but his last name was Monk. He was a major sergeant in the military. This is a man that was in the military for 19 years with a clean record. And his commanding officer is a lesbian. And the lesbian said, asks in an inquisition, literally an inquisition, asks the soldier, what is your view on homosexuality? The soldier says, I believe it is a sin. That soldier is not fired, but he is demoted into a lower position than what he already was, and he filed a discrimination complaint, a complaint of discrimination. The complaint was thrown out of court, but the music is playing, so we will resume later.
Well, I think that the people have to understand that things are changing, and changing very dramatically. In the military, we did a program just yesterday with our good friend Joel Skousen, pointing out certainly that what's taking place in the military is now that certainly it's perfectly all right to be a homosexual. Many of the homosexuals in key positions in the military are putting on programs that are defamatory towards Christianity. In fact, they've attacked Don Wildman's American Family Association and numerous times in programs presented to the military.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Ted is talking about all the things that are happening in America. Certainly, commander and military asks our first sergeant what he thinks about the homosexuality. He says it's a sin, and so basically they demote him, and he launches a lawsuit and probably will get thrown out of the military after 19 years of honorable service because he had the courage to say homosexuality is a sin. And he's absolutely right. And if somebody asked me that, I would, I would hope I would have the courage to make that sort of remark. In fact, because I don't have to worry about the repercussions from what I say, but everybody else does. Certainly, to give the example of a bakery that didn't want to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Suddenly, other facilities did not want to lease them or give them out and have them used for homosexual weddings because they thought it was sinful. And these people are getting suddenly involved with all sorts of lawsuits. And basically, of course, it is these people, key people in government here, who are backing the Muslims over in Syria, who are actually persecuting Christians, who are financing the rebels that are killing Christians. Christianity is under attack throughout the world today. And unfortunately, in most instances, the United States is on the wrong side. And as I've said so often, America is a post-Christian nation, and I tremble for my country. I want to reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Ted, go right ahead.
Well, another point that I would like to make is, but to resume, and call it a conspiracy if you want, but I believe this is certainly true. I mean, why is Obama, why is John McCain, and Lindsey Graham, and Joseph Lieberman, and Nancy Pelosi, and Hillary Clinton, all of these people are supporting the idea. In fact, it was Hillary Clinton and General Petraeus who were, I believe, the first ones to propose the idea of giving weapons to the Syrians. And when the controversy arose of Obama wanting to pass his semi-automatic weapons ban, in which he would ban all semi-automatic weapons, be it rifles, pistols, etc., which is a huge affliction, punch to the Second Amendment of the Constitution. I wrote an article posing the question, why is Obama wanting to get rid of the Second Amendment in America, but yet he wants to give weapons to the jihadists in Syria? And this was before Obama was openly giving weapons, because now he is directly and openly giving weapons to them. But before, he was doing it more discreetly. This was last year. And he was giving the jihadists rifles and pistols and grenades. He wasn't giving them semi-automatic, but he was giving them semi-automatic. So my question was, why can't Americans own semi-automatic, but jihadists should own semi-automatic? And by the Homeland Security, by the admission of Homeland Security, the majority of these weapons that were being sent, semi-automatic weapons that were being sent, by their own admission, was being seized by the jihadists. And the Americans said, oh, we know it's being given to the wrong hands, but we want to give the weapon only to the moderate groups, or only to the people who knows what's best for their country, Syria, when in reality, most of these jihadists aren't even Syrians. They're foreigners. But another point I want to make clear is, why does Islam hate Christianity? Because Islam is a Christian heresy, like Mormonism, or like the Watchtower Movement, or like the Seventh-day Adventists. They are a Christian heresy which denies the divinity of Christ. And Muhammad, before he became the official prophet of Islam, he met with a Nestorian monk. Now, what is an Nestorian? An Nestorian is someone who follows the Nestorian heresy, founded by Nestorius at around, I believe, the 5th century. It states that God never came in the flesh. That is essentially the main point of contention within the Nestorian heresy, that God himself could not come in the flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that when Jesus was born, Jesus later on became divine. And so Muhammad was very much influenced by this Nestorian monk. the church fathers called this Nestorian monk, they say his name was Sergius, but in the Arabian historical record, he was called Al-Buhayra. And it's a true story. And this Nestorian influenced Muhammad. And that is why in the Quran, it says that God can never be begotten. God can never come in the flesh. So you have that Nestorian influence. And the other influence that came into Islam was another heresy called Arianism, founded by Arius in the 4th century. And Arius stated that Christ was inferior to the Father, and therefore could not be one with the Father, and the Trinity is false. And so Muhammad was influenced by this heresy as well. That is why in Islam it says that Christ was simply a prophet of God. He was not God in the flesh. And the third major heretical influence is a heresy called Manichaeism. Manichaeism believes that God and Satan are equally eternal and both gods, and that Christ did not suffer on the cross, but that he ascended to heaven untouched, and that the crucifixion was simply an illusion to the people who claim to have saw it, and the gospel writers were simply imagining, or they thought that they saw Christ being crucified, and that it was all just a big illusion or a mirage. And this is what Islam teaches. Muhammad was directly, and we can prove this through the historical record, that Muhammad was directly influenced by all three of these heretical groups. And all three of these heretical groups, the Arians, the Manichaeans, and the Nestorians, all three of them, when you study their histories deeply, they all aspire to destroy Christianity. In fact, Arianism, or the denial of the Trinity, became so powerful in the Roman Empire that the Arians began to kill the Christians in the Middle East. And the Arians became so dominant that they ended up having their own army. And there was a war between the Holy Roman Empire and the Arians, and the end of which was the Christians being victorious. After the Christians defeated the Arians under the superintendence of the general Belisarius, the Arians were expelled from the Roman Empire, and many of them ended up in Arabia, and that is where Muhammad is influenced by these Arian exiles. And Nestorianism also persecuted the church when it gained a position of power in the empire. Manichaeism killed many Christians because the Manichaeans were always allying with the Muslims in the Middle Ages, and also even before the Middle Ages, they were making alliances with the Muslims. When the Muslims conquered Armenia, they were the Manichaeans. In fact, there was a bishop in Syria in the 8th century. His name was Peter of Damascus. And Peter began to criticize Manichaeanism. And the great Muslim leader, Al-Walid, had Peter's tongue cut off as a punishment for criticizing the religion of the Manichaeans. And Abu Bakr, the great Muslim leader, said that if you ever see a Catholic monk with a tonsure, the tonsure meaning the special haircut that a monk has, which is shaped like a crown, you cut off his head. Why would he say that? Because Islam came to destroy the Catholic Church, which was before the Protestant Reformation and even before the establishment of the Eastern Orthodox churches. So it came to destroy all of Christendom and replace Christendom with a heresy which consists of multiple heresies under its sway, to replace truth with error, light with darkness, the church with the mosque, the church with Mecca, Christendom with Mecca. And that is the war that we continue to see today. In fact, in Syria, there was a monk, a priest, a Franciscan priest, Father Francois Morat. Because he was a Catholic, the Muslims took him and beheaded him. In fact, we posted the video on Shubat.com, and anyone can see it. Just type in Francois Morat, Francois, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S, Morat, M-U-R-A-D. You can search this name, and you will see the beheading on the internet.
What about...
Because he is a monk.
How can people get your website, Ted? I mean, I think your information is vitally important, and I certainly concur with it. A lot of it I hadn't heard before, but it certainly fits in. But before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get your information.
Well, they can go. There's an article that I wrote just on this subject. I posted it today. It's called Muslims Kill Men Over a Haircut, But Why? The haircut meaning the monkish tonsure. And they can find that on shoebot.com. It's in the front page. If you just go there right now, shoebot.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T, shoe and bat put together. And then we also have another website, which I just formed. It's called thecrusadingchristian.com, crusading, C-R-U-S-A-D-I-N-G, thecrusadingchristian.com. And there you can find a lot of the essays that I have written and media that I've done. Apologetics, Christian apologetics as well, and a lot of scholarly essays. And this can be found on the internet. If you just Google my name, Theodore Shoebot, on Google, and you'll find all my work on the internet for free. And another thing I would like to mention is rescuechristians.org. We started an organization in 2010. We are the only organization which takes Christians in Pakistan who are about to be killed by mobs, Muslim mobs, or who are wanted by the Sharia government of Pakistan. We take these Christians and we take them out of the country of Pakistan to rescue their lives. We are the only organization that has done this. And we've been doing this since 2010. So far, we have saved over 1,000 people. And we are right now supporting over 100 families in Pakistan. And we are continuing to do so. Thanks to the support of many a great Christian, both in America and in Europe as well, who are helping us. And I encourage all the listeners to go on rescuechristians.org. Give what you can, $5, $10. It doesn't matter. Give what you can. And all the money, not a single cent goes into our pocket. All the money goes directly into rescuing Christians in Pakistan. And with more funds, we can extend outside of Pakistan. Because recently we helped a number of Christians in Guinea in Africa, but for the most part, as of now, we are focusing on Pakistan because our funds are restricting us simply to this part of the world. But with more money, we can expand from Pakistan into other countries. So I encourage all the listeners to go on rescuechristians.org and give what you can, and I guarantee you will save a life with the money that you donate. However much it may be.
Well, I want to thank you. I hated to take you off of what you were talking about. You're out of role, but I wanted to get your information out. I didn't realize you're doing what you're doing as far as trying to rescue the Christians, but it is so vitally important because the Christians are under attack in Pakistan and in Afghanistan and in Iraq and also that part of the world today, and in large part because of the policies of our own government. So you please pick up and go right ahead, but thank you for getting the information out. And I do hope our listeners who are in a position to help will help you, because somebody has to have a coordinated effort to help those and rescue those Christians who are under persecution because of the policies of the American government. Go right ahead.
Yes, I mean, the Christendom. I mean, let's talk about Christendom and what Christendom really is. I have read a good amount of books written by, not by modern-day historians from Barnes & Noble, but people who lived in the Middle Ages, in the golden years of Christianity. And in Islam, we have the golden age of Islam, and Muslims love to boast themselves and pride themselves of their former days of glory. But in Christianity, we have our former days of glory. Now is certainly not one of them. But in the old days, we had the time when Christendom was dominant in the world. And let's talk about that. What was it about? If you look at Christianity from the early fourth century, even going all the way into throughout the Middle Ages, even into the Renaissance era, all the way to the 16th century, Christianity had a militant spirit. It was not a militant spirit in that they would go out and rape and kill innocent people like Muslims do. No. But they would go out and they would fight the heretics either through warfare or through or through debate, through writing books. And for centuries, there was a common term amongst Christians, and that was the church militant, dedicating yourself to fighting Satan and his followers and his false doctrine. What does it say in 1 John chapter 3? It says, and this is the reason why Christ was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. And I ask Christians, all who are listening, what are you doing to fight the works of the devil? What are the works of the devil? Are they your emotions? Are they your lack of self-esteem, as Joel Osteen would want us to believe? No, these are false doctrines. These are heresies. And every heresy, no matter how small or how large it may be, all heresies, once they take a position of power, wish to destroy Christianity. And we do not see this. We do not see this very fact because we refuse to read history, especially Christians. Christians in America do not like reading history because it takes too much to think about. They don't like to think. They want simple books that they can easily digest. But when you read history, what you find is that in the old days of Christianity, men were focused on fighting evil. And when you had, for example, in the Muslims, when the Muslims for 500 years were massacring the Christians of the Middle East, raping women, crucifying men, taking children away from their families and forcing them to live in Islamic homes to become soldiers for the Muslim kingdom. What happened? What did the Western church do? Did they just sit around and pray? Let's just pray about it. No, they caused the crusade. That's what caused the first crusade, was to fight against the heresy of Islam. And even before that, the Christians were fighting against other evil and wicked empires. What were they? We love to talk about the crusades in the Middle East, but we don't talk about the other crusades that took place before that. The Sassanid Persians, who were Zoroastrian pagans, they conquered Jerusalem, and the Christians fought them and defeated them. The Sassanid Persian pagans conquered Armenia, and you had three crusades that were fought by the Armenian Christians, warring against the pagan. And today we have watered down Christianity to simply a self-help philosophy, but not a doctrine of truth, which is bent on destroying the wiles of evil and the wiles of Satan.
Well, we truly are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And basically, you've outlined this beautifully. But people must understand this is not an imaginary battle. It's a battle, and we're losing it. We're losing it badly. We've changed from a Christian nation to a post-Christian nation, and this did not happen by accident. It's been planned and coordinated by those who hate Christianity, working at the highest levels of our government and of our courts. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the program this evening. Ted came on in very short order, just were able to get him just a few hours before the program. And I think it was very fortunate. I think that that was one of the finest presentations. And you need to understand, certainly, that we do have all these heresies out there. But there's only two religions in the world. One's Christianity, and the other, all the other religions, which I believe have a satanic foundation, but they're all interested in destroying Christianity, and suddenly they have taken over the reins of power here in the United States, and certainly they have played a part in putting Obama in power. Remember, Obama certainly is not a casual actor. He was placed where he is today by powerful forces and behind those powerful spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to read it. You can get the book. You can get the DVD. You can get the book, the DVD, and the CD of the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And listen several times because you'll need it to be able to certainly put all of the information together and begin to think in this light. For we truly are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and we're losing that battle. And we need to take America back. We've got a lot of good people here, but a lot of them are going to churches where the music has been changed, the message has been changed, and the very thrust of Christianity has been changed. No longer certainly concerned about who Jesus Christ was, or more concerned about doing good things and helping people, and those things are important. But that is a byproduct of Christianity. It is not what Christianity is primarily about. So we do hope, of course, that you'll want to get our material. Our talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, our talk on population control, the secret agenda. I said, if you want to understand what's going on politically in the world today, I suggest an interview I did back in 1980. It's available on DVD. It's called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. It was done certainly with an interview with a professor, Sutton, Tony Sutton, who'd been a fellow at the Stanford University, till he told the truth about what was taking place, and they got rid of him, and he could never get another job. Why? He was blacklisted for telling the truth about how we finance communism, how we finance the Nazis. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, all during the war, we financed the Nazis. If you never heard, I've got our four CD set, Operation Paperclip, you need to get it, and more up-to-date four CD set. The war against the Jews, the war against the Jews. Why is that important? Because it deals with how we finance the Nazis and help them escape to South America. Somewhere between 10 and 30,000 of the most vicious Nazis were helped to escape to South America by the American intelligence agencies working hand in glove with the Nazi movement. And they would like to know about the fate of Adolf Hitler. You can get the book, It's called Grey Wolf, about Hitler. What happened after the bunker in Berlin? I've talked to the author. You're going to get the author of my interview with the author of the book. You need to understand that nothing is you. Believe it, certainly, according to the author, and I've talked to him. He and his partner went to South America, talked to the people who had taken care of Adolf Hitler till he died in 62, people who knew Adolf in South America till the time he died. If that's true, why? How could that be true? Everybody knows Adolf Hitler died in a bunker, but how do you know that? Why, the same people who lie to you about everything else through the media and who control your education. And many of our churches insist Hitler died, and I don't believe, after reading this book and reading some of the other books that are available in other countries, but not in America. I don't believe that most of what we think we know is true. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And ladies and gentlemen, the media in America is rigidly controlled by six major corporations. If you haven't read the book, The New Media Monopoly, you need to get it. You need to understand, I've been told by people who work in the media, that they don't dare tell the truth. They'll lose their job. They'll be blacklisted. They'll never get another job. This is the reality of the control that exists. You need the book, The New Media Monopoly. And then, of course, we hope that you'll listen to our programs on a regular basis, because hopefully this evening we're going to have with us William Grigg. And William, certainly for many years, was the senior editor of the New American Magazine. He has certainly worked for Republic Magazine. He writes, certainly you can get his articles at lewrockwell.com. He writes the Radio Liberty newsletter on a regular basis, and we always look forward to his programs. William, how are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on your program again.
Okay, fine. What are you going to be talking about tonight?
One of the things that I think that would be a useful exercise this evening would be to review some of the really ominous portents of severe ugliness directly ahead. It's not at all surprising that the so-called government shutdown, which wasn't a government shutdown, it was cosmetic, it was something that was orchestrated from the beginning for theatrical purposes, that involved the genuine infliction of pain on certain targeted constituencies, but didn't do anything regarding the actual contraction of government expense or its influence. Government continued to grow. Government continued to spend huge amounts of money during the so-called shutdown.
And, you know, it's really so funny. You know, basically, I was invited to go on to programs to talk about the coming martial law, with the collapse of the world economy when all of a sudden America defaulted on its debt. And I said, you know, I'll come on your program, but I'm not going to agree with that.
Yeah.
This is all political theater. This is all engineered. We're not going to default on our debt. Basically, we owe most of it to ourselves. And basically, we only owe about $5 trillion to others. other countries. And this is not going to happen. Government's got a plenty of money. This is all falderal. Don't you know you're being manipulated? And the hosts sometimes of the programs would be shocked that I would say this is all political theater, but it really was. Go right ahead, William.
That's exactly right. You're dealing with kabuki theater. You're dealing with professional wrestling. It's something that's staged primarily for domestic consumption. And also, I'm convinced to beta test certain things that are going to come in useful when, at whatever point in the future, we either by design or by inevitability wind up in a situation of overt tyranny that most people would describe as martial law. We already see martial law being effectuated incrementally, and it's not as if it's creeping. It's sprinting. It's been galloping, and this is something that's been happening now for a number of decades. And the same thing is true with respect to the corporatization of the economy. By corporatization, I'm referring to corporate socialism, crony capitalism, whatever label you want to use to refer to the system where you have a cluster of politically favored elites who work hand-in-hand with the grotesquely hypertrophied executive branch that's essentially lawless. When you have a president who is such a overt and servile tool of Wall Street, that's the case with every president we've had for decades, who also claims the power to imprison or torture or kill anybody at will, you no longer have the rule of law. The question is, to what extent is this going to become overtly manifest as opposed to latent? And it becomes overt on a case-by-case basis, but we're seeing the expansion of the cohort of people to whom this applies. And so I don't think we're going to have the sudden descent of nightfall. I think you're going to have twilight blending into midnight eventually, and I think we're much closer to midnight than we are to high noon, if you will.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with our good friend William Grigg right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal.
Thank you, boss.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly off air, our Whitam is expressing concerns about a number of things. Certainly on November 13th or 14th, we're going to have a national drill that basically put forward by the FEMA, basically. And basically, it's going to deal with what would happen if the electricity went off, and they're going to feign turning off the electricity, and certainly what happens with a thousand or so electric generating plants are going to certainly cooperate with this, and how realistic this is going to be, we don't know, but we know a lot of banks are going to participate. What would happen if the electricity were to go off here in the United States, as you might see after either a solar flare or certainly an EMP attack? And, of course, we hear a lot being, well, I won't get into some of the other reasons why. I think this is a very ominous sign, but certainly William was talking about the fact that over in England, why certainly Cameron, the Prime Minister, is talking about the riots that would be there if they were to cut off welfare benefits. And we saw just this last week what happened certainly when that there was supposedly a glitch. Or was it really a glitch, certainly, in the computers, where, of course, the food stamp cards would not work, and people were demonstrating, and suddenly the people were simply walking out of the store with the food, because, of course, the computers wouldn't work. But they're entitled to it. We've told people they're entitled to be taken care of. Does this foreshadow very difficult times that lie ahead? Well, William is conjecturing it were, and I wouldn't conjecture. I would state beyond any shadow of a doubt. We are foreshadowing what is going to happen as the infrastructure of our country begins to break down. Go right ahead, William.
It's not the natural erosion or entropy that occurs because of prolonged ideological foolishness either. That's something that is playing a role here. There's, of course, this innate depravity in man that results in corruption being embedded in pretty much everything that we do. We're not talking about the accretion of error here. We're talking about deliberate manufacturing of crises as part of a strategy intended to drive society in a certain direction. We've gotten to the point now where at least some of the people who surround this so-called community organizer in the White House are admitting that they do certain things to nudge us in a certain direction. Of course, by nudging, you could think of cattle prod being applied to livestock, that type of a nudge. But they're very candid in talking about their social engineering aspirations. The question is the method they're going to use. If they're willing to nudge, then if people put up resistance, they'll certainly shove. And when nudge comes to shove, and neither proves availing, then they're going to do something a little bit more drastic, a little bit more painful to move people in a certain direction. So every time you have an episode of this kind, where the reality beneath the facade of American individualism, if you will, is made plain, the fact that there are these populations scattered across this country that are completely dependent upon government for the very food that they feed their children, if you want to call what most of these people purchase food. I've been to Walmart at the crack of midnight, if you will, when the EBT cards are loaded up. And I've seen the type of things that are purchased, and they're not staple foods for the most part. They're simple carbohydrates, refined food products that have been deprived of any nutritional value, which is why the N in the SNAP acronym is a lie. No, not surprisingly, there's no nutrition being supplemented through this program. There are a lot of people who are making a lot of money in big agriculture and a lot of people in the bureaucracy that are doing very well by getting people hooked on this entitlement program that ends up propelling an immensely unhealthy lifestyle rooted in pure dependence. And every once in a while, I think the people that run this want to have an exercise where they can gauge the reaction of people when there is a disruption in delivery of the service. Of course, one of the reasons they cultivate dependency here is to have this pool of potential unrest and civic disorder that they can activate at any given time for purposes of their choosing. And we're all, of course, through this Obamacare your mind's trust, you're going to be manipulated into a relationship of utter dependency on government and the corporate servitors and profiteers that will be involved in this system in ways that would make us all very vulnerable on political grounds, ideological grounds, if for no other reason, probably for demographic grounds, for reasons of demographic engineering. You're probably going to see, if Obamacare comes to fruition, certain people being provided with or denied health care in order to achieve social goals that our overseers would consider suitable. And this is the sort of thing that's going to lead not only to hardship, but to widespread unrest. And it seems to me that the people behind this are doing everything they possibly can to inflame and exacerbate all of these potential sources of societal antagonism. And I find it also ominous that one of the themes being urged upon the public now by that element of the government-aligned media that is of a left, I call it left authoritarian persuasion, MSNBC being typical of this. They're pushing the idea now that in the late government shutdown melodrama, the Republicans were not only obstructionists, but they were extortionists and terrorists and hostage takers. The rhetoric has become so saturated with the language not only of demonization, but of irrepressible conflict that would require the suppression or the elimination of your political opposition. And I don't want to suggest that that half of the dyad in establishment politics is uniquely authoritarian or uniquely tyrannical, because the right collectivists, if you will, the establishment Republicans, when they have power in the executive branch, a congressional majority, as we saw during the Bush reign, can be pretty much indistinguishable from the Democratic alternative in terms of the way that they exercise power and the way that they dehumanize people to oppose them. Both these factions are thoroughly cynical, utterly venal, and fungible, and all some inconsequential details. But talking about this idea that those who were supposedly responsible for the government shutdown, and the responsibility for the government shutdown, of course, is uniform. It's nonpartisan, transpartisan. You had this engineered shutdown carried out with the eager help and participation of both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. But the Obama partisans now were actually promoting the idea, some of the outliers at least in that coalition, that congressional leaders on the Republican side should be arrested and tried for treason. Some of you might be aware of the MoveOn.org petition to arrest and try House GOP leadership for sedition that was published just over the last couple of days. MoveOn.org, of course, was created by George Soros, funded by him back in the late 1990s as part of the Clinton coalition. They wanted to oppose the effort to impeach Bill Clinton, and it turns out the impeachment effort focused on exactly the wrong set of issues. I mean, his personal behavior was depraved, disgusting, and completely unworthy of anybody in whom reposed any kind of public trust, but the larger issue had to do with the, if not treasonous, borderline treasonous compromises regarding illicit campaign contributions from China, from communist China. And there were a host of other constitutional violations of similar gravity. I mean, just about any president in recent decades could be impeached the moment that he takes the oath of office, perjures himself, and then convicted of impeachment after his first overt act in violation of his oath. Clinton was no exception. He was worse than many, not nearly as bad as his successors, unfortunately. But MoveOn.org has published this petition, which reads as follows. I call on the Justice Department of the United States of America to arrest Republican Majority Leader Eric Cantor, Speaker of the House John Boehner, and other decision-making House Republican leaders for the crime of seditious conspiracy against the United States of America. The background in this petition reads as follows. The House GOP leadership's use of the Hastert Rule and H.R.E.S. 368 to shut down the government and threaten the U.S. economy with default is an attempt to extort the United States government into altering or abolishing the Affordable Care Act, and thus it self-evidently is a seditious conspiracy. Arrest the perpetrators in Congress immediately and bring them to justice. The interesting thing is, when it talks about altering or abolishing the Affordable Care Act, that's well within the legislative authority bills, if they see fit to repeal a measure that's well within their legislative authority. The House has a Republican majority. The Republican majority was elected in 2010, largely on the strength of opposition to socialized medicine under the rubric of Obamacare. And they're carrying out the mandate that they, unlike Barack Obama, received directly by direct election by the voters in their respective congressional districts. A president does not have a popular mandate. He was not the official who heads the executive branch is not a popularly elected official. Irrespective of what people perceive in terms of the way the mechanism works, he's elected by the Electoral Congress, and he was never intended to be a tuning fork vibrating with majoritarian impulses in the electorate. That's not the role of the president. The House does have a very similar role to that, so they were acting in their constitutional role when they were talking about either repealing or altering the so-called Affordable Care Act. However, Mr. Obama himself unilaterally, after signing this measure into what we're required to call law, after having a version of it reconfigured by the Supreme Court without constitutional authority, that measure was altered by the Supreme Court. What emerged from that Supreme Court decision was not the same measure that had been enacted by Congress and signed by Barack Obama. And the Barack Obama, sua sponte, on his own supposed authority, has altered the Obamacare system without any hint or a whisper of legitimacy. And so he's already done what the Republicans in the House of Representatives were accused of doing. And what they did in the House of Representatives was constitutionally sound with respect to Obamacare. But there are people who actually want to treat this as if it's a criminal conspiracy. And that these people, although perhaps at the outlying regions of the Obama coalition, are not unique.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
While the storm clouds gather.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 877-330-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
This is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is simply developing the ideas put forward in the Washington Post and elsewhere that basically, of course, the fact that John Painter put up this phony effort, you know, to hold up the budget and not raise the budget because they wanted to modify Obamacare. They didn't want to fund Obamacare. They thought Obamacare was wrong. This was an act of sedition, a treasonous act, and basically, of course, that the people involved should be arrested and tried for treason, and, of course, using this idea that this was certainly an act of sedition, this was certainly a subversive act, undermining the laws of our land because the Speaker of the House of Representatives wanted to use the power that has always been available to the Speaker to try to block a law that it certainly does not have the support of the majority of the American people. And of course, even if the House of Representatives had voted to repeal the Obamacare, neither the Senate nor the President would have gone along with it. It doesn't matter what the American people think. We talk about democracy. These people don't believe in democracy. Of course, neither do I. What they really believe is an elitist movement. And unfortunately, Obamacare is going to lead to the destruction of the healthcare structure in America. Once one of the finest healthcare structures in the world, and today beginning to sink into the same situation they have in England, where at the present time, elderly people fear going to the hospital. Many of them will not go to the hospital, even when they know they should, because they fear they'll never come out alive. And they're actually killing people, the elderly, in hospitals in Great Britain today. We've had this repeatedly from people in that area. You're never going to hear about that through the controlled media in America. Go right ahead, William.
What's that called? The Liverpool pathway or something?
I don't know what they call it, but basically they just take away their food and water, and they don't last very long.
Yeah, one of the major administrators of the National Health Service in Great Britain just perished in one of her hospitals awaiting treatment because she was considered somebody with an insufficient number of quality-adjusted life years to justify the investment of what's called public resources in maintaining her health. She was, if I remember correctly, on the far side of 60, and she had chronic health problems because she was somebody who wasn't seen as a contributing member of society and she couldn't give anything to the community. By the fact she was an administrator of that system, she didn't get the treatment she needed, and she expired while awaiting treatment. That's very much the model for what's going to happen here in the United States. And all of this is, of course, being manipulated for reasons of brute, undisguised, cynical political interest and economic interest on the part of Big Pharma and the insurance companies that actually wrote the enabling legislation. One of the things that I found so perplexing and frustrating is that people who are as attached to Barack Obama for reasons of chauvinistic political partisanship, the same way the people on the right collectivist side were attached to George W. Bush a decade or so ago, have been tying themselves into knots and have succumbed to this overwrought sense of frustration over the idea that the so-called shutdown, the so-called obstructionism by Republican critics of Obamacare, is calculated to deprive people of health care which otherwise would be made available to them through the Obamacare system. In other words, if it weren't for these incredibly craven and cruel people in the Republican leadership of the White in the House of Representatives, that there would be no problem at all with providing people with health care. When the way that this is structured is designed to deprive people of health care, first of all, and secondly, to enrich corporate interests. These are people, most of the people of the sort I'm just describing here, these are people who wax expansively indignant about the evil influence of corporations on politics, and yet they've been manipulated into frenzies of untutored, impassioned support for this measure that was written by corporate interests and that would serve nobody but corporate interests. And, of course, the bureaucracy, the batten on programs of this sort, it would fuel the ambitions and to some extent, I suppose, supply the appetite for power on the part of government bureaucrats to be administering this program. But this is all about enriching corporate. This is corporate welfare disguised as the health care system. And these people, largely because they've succumbed to this evil two-party system, two-party monopoly cartel deception, have been manipulated into supporting corporate welfare at a time when supposedly the Obama administration is trying to hold back the influence of corporate money in politics.
And I think it's really so incredible. Most people actually think that this is socialized medicine. It's really not going to be socialized medicine. People are going to have to buy their policies. Basically, they're, according to an article I recently read in the New York Times, there are about 8 million people who formerly had health care. They got it under Medicaid, but they're not going to be able to get under the new system. 8 million people are going to be totally without medical care because of Obamacare.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. you'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is pointing out that in Nazi Germany, why, of course, many of the communists actively supported Adolf Hitler. Why? Because they knew his system wouldn't work, and when it failed, that they thought that they would be able to take over. One of the biggest problems today is that most people don't understand communism. We have far more communism and far more socialism in America than they ever had in communist Russia. And basically what people don't understand is communist Russia was financed from its very inception by the, what I call, the Brotherhood of Darkness, call it what you will, very wealthy people in America who believe that we need a ruling elite, that some men are born to rule, most men are born to be ruled, and basically by focusing our attention on the threat of communism overseas, we rally behind our government, go along with their whole idea of changing from charity to welfare to entitlement here in America, and impose a socialist America on the American people. And this is what we have today. The only trouble is socialism doesn't work, as Margaret Thatcher said. I mean, socialism works fine until you run out of other people's money to spend. The whole thing collapses. And that is exactly where we're headed today, but not by mistake. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing. And the longer we put off certainly doing what's necessary, the further we'll be along the pathway where there'll be no turning back, and the whole financial and structure of our society will fall apart. When I suddenly graduated from medical school in 1952, everyone in America had health care. Let me repeat that. Everyone in America had health care. Every county had a county hospital. And basically, if you could afford your health care, why, you paid for it. If you could only afford half of it, you paid for half of it. If you couldn't afford it at all, but you had a home, they put a lien on your home. So when you died, why, that home could be used to provide funds for other people who needed health care. But I worked in those county hospitals in San Francisco and Santa Cruz, and I will tell you, people got good health care. And the doctors came out from the communities, and most of them gave their time entirely free. Because, of course, at that time, why, it was a tradition of medicine to take care of those who couldn't afford it, and the doctors certainly could afford to do that. They made a good living, and they were dedicated to taking care of people, but that was an entirely different world. Today, why, America is no longer, I should say, medicine, is no longer simply the noble profession. It's a job, and basically, I see an entirely different attitude and approach to care of patients, certainly by the doctors, by the hospitals, and certainly by the people who work in the hospitals. And certainly there's some very, very caring people there. But the whole thing with administration, hospital administration, is a job, and it's a profit-making situation, not a calling. Go right ahead, William.
And one of the things that we're seeing is that in anticipation of the corporatization of what remains of our healthcare system, that we're watching an exodus of actual medical practitioners from the healthcare system. That's already happening now, and the Obamacare monstrosity is yet really to bite. And when this really does take hold, there's going to be huge damage done very quickly, and we've got a vulnerable population. The population in the United States right now is vulnerable in a way that it has never been before to a real upheaval in the healthcare system because of the age wave. You've got the baby boomer cohort coming into maturity right now, late maturity, in a way that's already going to overtax the system. Of course, you have the unfunded liabilities in terms of the benefits that have been promised to the baby boomer cohort that are already going to become so burdensome. Such a financial economic burden on the country that alone might be enough to drive us into economic oblivion. But in addition to that aging cohort, we have a very unhealthy population. For the first time in in our national history. If you take a look at the other demographic tiers going all the way down to grade school and earlier, younger, we have rampant obesity and all of the healthcare problems that that generate. These are people who, at very young stages of life, were requiring medical interventions of the kind that we didn't see commonly in the 1960s, 1970s, or 1980s. So we've become at once very poor in terms of the accumulation of debt and the burdens being placed on households. You cannot have a one wage earner household anymore of any size that's able to maintain a middle class standard of living. But at the same time, we become very poor, but we're suffering from all the maladies that are associated historically with the indolence of the privileged classes. And that's not a healthy situation either. And when the plug is pulled, as we saw once again when the plug was jiggered, if you will, last weekend with the transfer payments, the EBT payment system was given a bit of a goose. And we saw that there was a huge ripple effect in what I'm convinced was a fail-safe test or a beta test for something that would really engender widespread upheaval, which would be if suddenly the EBT card just went dark and people didn't have access to food stamps. But what will happen when you have people who have been mired in this cultivated dependency and have made themselves unhealthy in ways that living on EBT funded diet will, you're eating simple carbohydrates, sugar, and junk, and you're not going to be healthy, and suddenly you have the prospect of needing medical treatment, and it's not available there. I mean, it's one of those really ugly situations where dependency leaves people completely helpless, and we've got a lot of deliberately engineered helplessness in this system right now, and that's going to put tectonic stresses, if you will, on our national culture, because it's not uniform. There are clusters of severe dependency across the country. And if you do a map where you have, as the first layer, the clusters of severe dependency, and then overlay that with another map that would designate those areas where you find urban violence, those maps are pretty much identical. They overlay perfectly. And so when the balloon goes up and things do really get ugly, there are going to be a number of places in the country where people are just going to leave. I would be really interested to see what would happen to Detroit if we did have a shutdown of the transfer payment program. But that's one of my abiding nightmares for the last 15 years or so, as I watched that city degenerate entirely. You can take a look at Chicago. You can look at some places in California, obviously. You take a look along the East Coast and then the Deep South as well. I mean, there are a lot of places that are very dependent. It's not the stereotypical ethnic urban minorities that we're talking about either, because there is a lot of rural dependency in the Deep South. And then one of the things the shutdown illustrated is the ripple effect that happens when so-called non-essential personnel are furloughed and find themselves financially strapped. And the one growth sector in the economy for the last, 15 years, perhaps, since the bubble, the first real Greenspan bubble began in the late 1997, 1998 or so. But the one consistent growth sector in the economy has been in the so-called public sector. The government payroll has simply metastasized beyond all reasonable expectations. And this is visible if you take a look at the imperial capital, Washington, D.C., and the counties that surround it, in terms of the amount of money that's available, the lifestyles that are being led there. These people are living beyond the wildest dreams of pharaonic avarice. But you take a look a couple of echelons below the elite who live in Washington, D.C., there's this huge population of people who were on the payroll of government agencies, contractors who work for government agencies who may be considered non-essential. That's a huge constituency there for continued profligacy on the part of government. And that's a type of dependence that isn't often discussed here. We often talk about the the proverbial welfare queens. We've seen plenty of specimens of that variety parading before the television cameras over the last week or so. Women who have five, six, seven, eight, or more children by more than one biological, you can't really call them fathers, more than one biological contributor. You have women who are in a position of dependence, and they're the so-called fathers of these children are nowhere to be found. They're completely at the mercy of the welfare system. And Dr. Stan, you and I both know, and anybody who's honest about the literature, who's read the literature, will admit that's exactly the way the system was designed. That's intentional. Going all the way back a century or more ago, to the late 1800s, early 1900s in Great Britain, when that country was being destroyed from within, in exactly the same way as the United States has been under siege now. The Fabian socialists consciously designed the welfare system in order to bring about this specific result. They wanted to get the father out of the picture. They wanted to make the mother, if you will, a concubine of the welfare state. They wanted to make the government, the state, the surrogate father. It's in all the literature. Take a look at the writings of H.G. Wells on the subject. Many people are familiar with him as a science fiction writer. He had a certain gift as a spinner of stories, teller of tales in that respect. But he was evil, vicious, despicable man who was deeply involved in the Fabian socialist movement. And he was somebody who was very unabashed, very brazen in talking about the use of the state to destroy the capacity of society to bring up individualistic, self-regulating free people. In his book, I believe it's called New World for Old, way back in the early, I think the second decade of the 20th century, 1918, if memory serves. No doubt Dennis Cuddy, who may be listening to this program, will give you chapter and verse. He's very tenacious, very knowledgeable about the details of this sort. But in New Worlds for Old, H.G. Wells was talking about using social welfare programs in order to remove the influence of the father from the home and to make the mother an agent of state policy, and how you would remove the crude influence of the parents and replace it with the parenthood of society. I believe Arthur Calhoun in his Social History of the American Family, which was a standard textbook that came out in the late 19-teens, early 1920s, used almost universally here in the United States. He was preaching the same Fabian gospel. We want to remove children from the crude influence of the parents to nationalize them. And that was what Wells was talking about, and how if the mother, who would be the agent of the welfare benefits of the home, was seen as being either incompetent or rebellious in terms of the way that she was raising the children would be removed from the home and raised by somebody the state would find to be more suitable. But the objective has always been to bring about what we're seeing when we take a look at these wretched spectacles of people who frantically are filling up the shopping carts with welfare cards and suddenly have no effective limit because of what we're told was a computer glitch. And these people parade before the cameras and say, look, I have to feed my family. I'm completely dependent on this welfare program in order to feed my children. It's heartless and irresponsible of you to deprive me of the ability to feed my children. Who are you to shut down the benefit program and leave my children to starve? You actually have seen a whole parade of people who are speaking that language. And you've seen despicable people in the media like Ed Schultz saying that the Republican leaders are heartless and cruel. They're phony Christians because they're not practicing the golden rule because they're trying to take away the benefits of these starving or would-be starving children and poor people. You know, Jesus didn't hate the poor. Why do you hate the poor so much that you're trying to take away their food stamps? Of course, what he's speaking is the purest buncombe. He should know. I don't know. In his case, you're dealing with somebody who's even less intelligent than Sean Hannity. But Ed Schultz, assuming he has a couple of neurons to rub together, would understand that these people are dependent as a matter of deliberate policy, and that Jesus never endorsed the plundering of certain people in order to enrich others. He always preached the benefits and the necessity, the moral necessity of private charity, of giving of your substance, not taking from your neighbor and giving to somebody else. You know, Jesus of Nazareth said, who made me a divider among men, when he was asked to settle an issue of inheritance and redistribute wealth according to in ways that would supposed to be equitable. So that's not what this is about. That's not how things work. You know, you're supposed to give of yourself. You're supposed to serve the weak and the homeless and the widow and the poor. And when you see one of them, you're supposed to see my face. But he did not endorse coercive redistribution. And he would recognize, and this is something that's very much a part of both the Old and New Testament preaching, recognize that theft is theft, irrespective of the motives of those who steal. And he would also recognize that there's a certain element of Phariseeism.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we're running out of time. But ladies and gentlemen, basically at one time we had Christian charity in America, and I believe in Christian charity. I do not believe certainly in entitlements because, of course, once you are entitled to it, why, of course, you're going to demand it. And this is going to lead to the destruction of America. They know exactly what they're doing. They pretty well destroyed a large segment of our black population. 70% of black children born in America are born out of wedlock. And we can thank certainly the elitists for doing what they're doing. They want to destroy the black population. They're doing a great job of it. Before we go on, William, it's time for you to get your website out, how people can get in touch with you, get your writings, get your books, and certainly how they can get your PayPal button.
Dr. Stan, I appreciate that. My chief outlet is still the Pro Libertate blog, which is found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or just Google Pro Libertate and Grigg, or just William N. Grigg. Pro Libertate should be the first return. You mentioned, Dr. Stan, that there is a PayPal button for those who have the means to donate and are interested in doing so. Really do appreciate the help that we've received in keeping our family afloat. You know, I'm doing this as a trust exercise, as I've said before. I work very hard on Pro Libertate. I hope I'm offering value. The fact that people have found value in what I've written is very gratifying, and it's been a lifeline for my family. My radio program is called Freedom Zealot Radio. It's on every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Central, at libertyroundtable.com. Go to libertyroundtable.com, and then there is a Listen Live link that you can click in the upper right-hand quadrant of the page. LewRockwell.com, L-E-W-Rockwell.com. Republishes a great deal of what I publish at Pro Libertate, and I also contribute to the blog at LewRockwell.com. And also for those who are on YouTube, the Freedom Zealot channel is what I use to post videos and to put up teasers for video documentaries that I'm working on. So you can go to the Freedom Zealot channel on YouTube and find what I have by way of video offerings there. And I'm also, of course, available on Facebook, just William Norman Grigg on Facebook. And I use that to link a lot of my articles and publicize my work as well.
And then if you subscribe to the Radio Liberty newsletter, why, of course, you'll get William's monthly newsletter. He's writing the Radio Liberty letter now, doing a wonderful job. And so if you'd like to get it, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. But if you can help William, please do. He does a wonderful job.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just saying off air to William that basically we have a real problem in America because America has turned against God. And unless there is a major catastrophic event, people are not going to turn back to God. I will tell you that I just got some information, a communication with Scott Lively who's over in Russia. Russia has a tremendous evangelical, suddenly a revival over there. People are building thousands of new churches in Russia every year. Something like 30,000 churches in the last couple of years. But it's because, of course, Russia has gone through a terrible and difficult time. And now the people are turning to God, and even the corrupt government over there is certainly allowing this, encouraging a return to Christianity. Well, suddenly everything is being done here in America to destroy Christianity in our schools and our churches and our military. And but I believe an event is coming. I believe God is going to bring it upon us. I don't think it's going to occur by itself. Because you see, between man's plan and time and God's plan and eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference, and I believe God does have a plan. I think we're going to see this being enacted here in the not-too-distant future. And this is the time, but of course I need to remind you, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watched the DVD or gotten the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the book, the CD, and certainly the DVD, why we offer them. We want you to understand the spiritual nature of what's going on, and you can get those by calling 1-800-544-8927. We came across recently an interview we did some years ago, 1980, with Professor Sutton, and he was a fellow at the Stanford University, until he had the audacity to tell the truth about how we'd financed communism and Nazism, and during the Vietnam War. We were financing the Russians, we were financing the North Vietnamese, we were funding the Viet Cong, we were killing our boys, and we kept that war going for 8 or 9 long years, long bloody years, killed 78,000 American boys, 1 million South Vietnamese, 2 million North Vietnamese, totally unnecessary. And Professor Sutton had the audacity to talk about that and to write about it. And we can actually hear what he has to say in that interview. It's a DVD called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. Well worthwhile, ladies and gentlemen. One of the most important interviews I've ever done. Of course, you can hear my interview with Ambassador Smith about how we put Fidel Castro in power. That's called World Revolution. You can hear my interview with Norman Dodd, where he tells about how the purpose of the Ford Foundation was to so alter life in America that one day we could be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. That's the DVD, The Desperate Deception. They're all available by calling 1-800 or Dangerous Deception. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then we simply want to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, which is heard worldwide through the miracle of the internet, heard on the internet, heard certainly on the short wave. You can get this certainly on regular radio stations across America, and we have a fair number of radio stations that do carry our programs, but it's an expensive proposition to be on radio. And yet, of course, this is, certainly has an impact because people get used to listening. They listen every night. And so if you'd like to join the radio